Well, now our regular political observers, E.J. Dionne of the Washington Post and the Brookings Institution, and David Brooks of the New York Times. Welcome to both of you.
Good to be with you.
Let's start with the things we just heard in Ina Jaffe's report. There's two very different appraisals of where we stand. A great tightening, the Republicans say. The Democrats say it's time to start advertising in Arizona, that it's within the realm of possibility the Democrats could win it. On a general scale, what do you make of these counterclaims, claims and counterclaims, David?
There's been a tightening. I wouldn't say it's a great tightening. It's a timid tightening. If you take it nationally, it's a tightening from, say, a 7-point Obama lead to a 5-point Obama lead, or maybe 5.5. The essential question is nobody knows what the electorate is like. It's clearly not like the electorate of 4 years ago, but how many new voters are coming on for Obama? That's the question.
You too, EJ? Same thing?
Yeah, well, it's Halloween. I'm going to play a right-wing Republican for Halloween. Of course it's tightening. No, I think if I were the McCain campaign, I'd be saying exactly what they're saying. The evidence is that it's not tightening in the states that matter, and the notion that these states are coming into play that should be Republican is really striking. I was thinking back to 92. I was on the President Bush's campaign plane at the end of the term, the first President Bush, and we ended the night, I believe it was Billings or Helena, Montana, and I went up to Jim Baker, and I said, Mr. Baker, I have one question. If you're going to win this election, what the hell are we doing here? And I think the problem is that so much of the fight is in Republican territory where McCain shouldn't be having to fight.
A big event of the week was the Obama TV show, which drew so many viewers, we can only imagine what the spinoffs are going to be next season. David, what'd you make of it?
I think Jay Leno said it was the highest NBC-rated show of the week, or the night, or something like that. I sort of liked it. I'm a fan of Tolstoy, so I like anything that opens with fields of wheat, lots of wheat.
I love the wheat, too, actually.
And so that was good. And the
Are there any cities in this country, by the way? We were looking at this. No one lives in a city in any vision of the country that's put on television.
This is a Morning in America visualization. I guess, and as a depiction of real life suffering, I thought it was quite effective. I guess my problem, and I hit the brakes when he starts describing his solutions, and he came on, especially after the first few minutes, and described solutions which were all gimmicks. Tax cuts to get small business to hire more. I don't think anybody thinks those are effective. He complained about the tax loopholes for outsourcing. Those aren't real. So that as a piece of visual imagery, I thought it was effective. The problem is so many of his policies, at least the ones he mentioned in the show, are political gimmicks.
EJ?
You know, I was also thought of Ronald Reagan in watching this. It was sort of Morning in America in reverse, but it was a very optimistic picture of America within a framework of a critique of what's wrong. You know, Reagan's famous lines, you know, he stood for family, work, neighborhood, peace, and freedom. And this was really about work and family. And I think it was a direct response to McCain's implicit argument when he attacks spread the wealth around that, you know, Obama wants to give it to people who don't work. Everybody in that film that Obama narrated was somebody who worked very hard and lived by family values. And I think it went straight at the voters who still might have a chance of being persuaded.
What do you make of the McCain charge of the week, which is that Barack Obama is a redistributionist, wants to be redistributor in chief, which is to say, tax wealthier people in order to spread the wealth around people who have less money. Isn't that an accurate description of a Democratic presidential candidate?
You know, what is wrong with being a redistributionist, in my view? I mean, you know, what's striking about this is, does that mean that John McCain wants to get rid of progressive taxation? Our tax system, as it stands now, is redistributive. Sarah Palin has spread oil wealth around up in Alaska, and she's very popular for doing that. But I think what McCain has done is he's really sharpened the contrast and made this a kind of referendum on trickle-down economics and supply-side economics. Obama, people say, is not clear about everything. He's been very clear in his critique of trickle-down, and I think this will be a referendum on that.
It's true that we're all redistributionists. I mean, Republicans are for means-testing welfare programs so we can direct money to people who need it the most. So that part is bogus. The real part is that Obama is pretty, or at least moderately or conceivably liberal on economic policy. And if you look at his actual proposals, they don't actually add up to anything close to a balanced budget. The health care plan, while having some virtues, is very weak on cost control. He's going to cut taxes for 95% of the people. So it's legitimate to say he's proposing something pretty liberal economically. The problem from McCain's point of view is he's for the massive tax cuts. And it's hard to be a fiscal hawk if you're for those tax cuts. It sort of undermines his own position.
I want to ask both of you now. We'll start with you, David. Between now and Tuesday evening, What are the things? I mean, you've been immersed in this thing now. It's about 2 years that this campaign has been going on.
Three years.
What are you most interested in looking at? Or you've just had it up to here and you want to get on to Wednesday already. You know, the things you're especially looking for right now.
I've had it so far up to here, I can't even begin to describe the nausea I feel. It's sort of existential nausea. But the one unanswered question in my mind is, has the electorate changed? Mm-hmm. Is this really a transforming election where the country significantly moves to the left? Do the Democrats actually have a 10 or 15-point party advantage? If that turns out to be the case, then Obama really has if he wins, has a significant mandate.
In effect, do the people who turn out to vote on Tuesday, do they validate that picture that we've gotten from the polls over the past
Right, and the polls are all over the place because none of the polls know, what the electorate looks like. Some thinks the Democrats have a 3 or 4-point advantage, some 15.
EJ, what are you looking to learn here?
First of all, I'm filled with hope and optimism. I don't feel any nausea at all. I'm looking for many of those things, and I think one of the things is, how big is an Obama victory if it happens? Does he really begin to cut into Republican territory? Do the young people change the nature of the electorate, and African Americans, how big that turnout will be? Have a couple of friends on the ballot. This is rank bias. My old Dean Judy Fader out in Virginia and Al Franken, and that's a really interesting race to a lot of people. And it is going to be important as to what, not only the size of the Democratic majority in Congress, I think we'd both agree Democrats are going to gain significant ground, but also who's going to come in, because it could be a very, very Democratic caucus. They could win a lot of seats in quite conservative areas. And what's that going to do to the Democratic Party in Washington?
I mean, if they get the new seats in the Senate, let's say, in Alaska, Colorado, New Mexico— Well, it still wouldn't be as conservative a Democratic caucus in the Senate as it was back in the 1980s. Say,
no, when
there
very important
Southern
point.
Conservative Democrats.
The Democrats are a center-left coalition. In the old days, they were right-center-left, because some of those Southern Democrats were as conservative as any Republican.
But I think it is fair to say that it now looks unlikely they'll get 60 seats in the Senate. Mm-hmm. So the Republican Party will, in some sense, still matter. They'll probably at least have 41, unless people like Mitch McConnell in Kentucky start losing.
So some of the most important people in the United States Senate next year will be Arlen Specter of Pennsylvania.
Susan Collins of Maine, who's expected to win, who's a moderate, who would be very torn on the Obama health care plan, for
Olympia
example.
Snow of Maine would be a critical player, and Senator Joe Lieberman of Connecticut, I guess, would be a very critical player in the next Senate.
It's going to be fascinating to see what happens with Joe Lieberman. I assume there'll be a lot of pressure to take him out of the Democratic caucus. You wonder if he might just quit himself and say, you know, okay, I know what I did in this campaign. I supported the other party. But then whatever happens, how does he vote? Because in principle, historically, he has been on the liberal side on a lot of domestic issues. Does he continue on that path, or does he become more Republican?
Well, we're getting ahead of ourselves, though, because we still have an election on Tuesday.
Yeah,
I'm sorry I raised the question of what will happen after that. Thanks a lot for all of your remarks throughout this this presidential election campaign. Guys, good to see you again.
Thank you.
Good to see you. Thank you.
David Brooks of the New York Times and EJ Dionne of the Washington Post.